was agenda item Roman numeral one, the call.
Well done, too.
And I was able to do that because I am assured by Pat that we do have a quorum. So for the record, Pat?
We absolutely do.
Great. In that case, can I have a motion to adopt the agenda, please?
So moved, yeah.
Second, Mohan.
All right, we have a motion and a second. All in favor? Any opposed? Great. Now, may I have a motion to approve the April 5th minutes?
So moved, yeah.
Second?
Second, Mohan.
All right, we have a motion and a second. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. Roman numeral five, have we received any requests for public comments?
We have not.
All right, and we are moving directly through the agenda quickly to the president's announcements. And so I just want to use the time for announcements today. First, to give a little bit of an update on what's going on in Springfield, and then to just review the progress on a number of the searches that we have going on campus. So Matt Strebb is in Springfield as we speak. Tonight is the higher ed reception. Public university chancellors and/or members of their staffs will be represented there. Governor Pritzker has committed to stopping by. There will be a lot of informal advocacy conducted. Oh, microphone.
There will be a lot of informal advocacy conducted at the reception tonight to continue to remind members of the General Assembly of the importance of supporting the governor's budget, which has a 7% across the board increase for higher ed, $100 million in MAP and continuation of AIM High. There's no reason at this point to think that the budget is in jeopardy, other than the fact that this is the time of year in the budget cycle with just a couple weeks left when General Assembly members start to get nervous about what's in the budget versus how much money is had. And people like to flex their muscles, and you just are always nervous that you have to keep telling the story. The university presidents and chancellors are writing another letter signed by all 12 public university presidents and chancellors, again, to advocate for the importance of investment in higher ed, what it means to our state's economic development, opportunity for students across the state, and also the importance of investment in public universities to stem out-migration of Illinois high school students to other states, something that the governor's office is very worried about. So, if everything goes according to plan, we only really have like 2.5 weeks left of the session. Those of us who've been in Illinois for a long time know that doesn't always go according to plan, but in recent past it has. So we will keep driving the important message home, and if we need advocacy from the folks in this room, we will certainly let you know. Any questions on Springfield other than that? All right. So, as everybody knows, or anyone who works here has experienced, this is certainly the season where we search, celebrate, and graduate. And so at next Thursday, May 11th, Board of Trustees meeting, we will have appointments of four leaders going forward to the Board of Trustees for approval. I think everybody already knows from a public announcement that David Gruel will be joining us as the Dean of the College of Engineering and Engineering Technology. I want to compliment the provost and the members of the search committee on making a terrific hire. Dean Gruel and his spouse were here on a house hunting trip about a week or so ago, had open bagels and coffee in the College of Engineering, made everybody feel welcome, and I think everyone is really looking forward to having him on board. We'll also have the appointment of the interim dean of the College of Ed. Again, that's been publicly announced as Bill Pitney, someone who's very familiar to most people who have been involved in shared governance since this institution, as he is a former faculty senate president as well as a former vice provost for faculty affairs. I am able to say today that we will have the announcement of our next Vice President for Research Innovation Partnerships at the Board of Trustees. And although the press release hasn't come out yet, the ink is on the dry on the contract, the press release is in motion, and we will be welcoming NIU alumna Yvonne Harris as our next Vice President for Research and Innovation Partnerships. I hope many of you had the opportunity to meet Dr. Harris when she was here. Her story is a wonderful Husky story of someone who came here, had a transformative experience, fell in love with science and discovery science. She has a bachelor's, master's, and PhD from our Department of Biology, obtained while she was a single mother with the support from our incredible faculty who opened her horizons to things she didn't even know existed or were possible. She's gone on to a very positive career in higher ed and research administration, and we're very, very pleased to welcome her back to the Husky family. And at the Board of Trustees meeting, we will also have an item for approval of an interim dean of the College of Business, but we have not dried the ink on those paperwork yet, so that announcement will not be made today, but we'll be ready by next Thursday. We do have a couple of searches that are still in progress. Right now, we are actually smack in the middle of the two candidates who are interviewing for Vice Provost for Faculty Affairs. We had the first one earlier today, and we have the second tomorrow. The open forum tomorrow is at 1 p.m. We are two-thirds of the way through the search for our next Chief HR Officer, and the final candidate in that search will not be on campus until May 15th. On May 15th, there will be a 2:15 to 3 p.m. open forum that will either be in ALF-GEL 315 or on Zoom. And then we are just at the cusp of bringing in the finalists for the Vice President of Diversity, Equity, Inclusion, and Chief Diversity Officer. And the first candidate will be with us May 8th. The second candidate will be with us May 10th. And the third candidate will be with us May 12th. The third candidate is only able to interview even as a finalist remotely because of obligations on the candidate's campus. Not surprising this time of the year, but so nothing should be read into that. But again, we'll be moving those two searches forward, and those the Chief HR Officer appointment doesn't need to go to the board, but the Vice President for Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion will go to the board in June. We are confident that we will have a hire by then. I just do wanna thank people who have taken time from their schedules, shown up for individual or small group meetings with the candidates, and or attended the open forums. I know that this is a crazy busy time of year and things drag on, but the positions that are left to interview are very key positions, and I'm not sure that it sends a candidate a great message when there are 40 people online and one person in the room in the audience. So if we could just try to remember that if we're recruiting these people to be our colleagues, just as you know we're inquiring if they're up to the job, and so a warm physical presence is helpful in doing that if people can swing it. So the president's office website has the times of the open forums on the website, and if people could just be a little strategic about trying to attend in person, I think that would be helpful. That concludes the president's announcements. Does anybody have any questions about the searches? So this is the time where I usually very joyfully and as quickly as possible hand this gavel over to my colleague, Ishmael Montana. But today, before I do that, there is a different gavel that I want to hand him. And that is the gavel of honor for serving as faculty, thank you, Linda, for serving as faculty senate president. And I just hope that all of you will join me in a big round of applause for someone who just gave us exceptional service for the past year, moving key university initiatives forward, representing the faculty voice so well whenever it was needed, and someone who should take great pride in the time of service as faculty senate president. And And now that I've embarrassed you, I'm going to give you the other gavel and ask you to say a few words before you take the meeting back over. And I'm going to leave this up here so everyone can see it.
I don't even know where to start. I want to take this opportunity to thank you, thank my colleagues, faculty, staff, and the student that we work for. This, I mean, past years, quite frankly, has been one of the greatest honor in my life and my career here at NIU. I cannot find a word to describe, you know, my feelings and gratitude for the opportunities that open up to me in getting to know many, many of you, in getting to work with you, and in getting also to be able to count on what I see as transformational changes, I mean, that we are undergoing through here at this institution. So to be part of that for me is very gratifying, and I'm so grateful. That would not have happened without the trust, without the confidence that had been placed on me. And I hope, you know, I have done my kind of, you know, best to this point. So thank you very much for that. Yeah, great. So with that, I would like to, you said you were going to embarrass me, and I think because I'm lost of words to really.
Mission accomplished. Let's give him one more round of applause. For him.
Okay, our next agenda item takes us to Roman numeral 7, items for Faculty Senate consideration. And we have two agenda items. The first one is 7A. We have Dr. Bernice Edgell-Walden, Vice President for Diversity, Equity and Inclusion and Chief Diversity Officer, who is going to provide an overview presentation on moving Illinois toward equity, a framework and toolkit. So without further ado, Dr. Edgell-Walden, the floor is all yours.
There you go, just that button, yes, and sir. Now it should be green. Yep, it looks good to me.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon. So I'm pleased to be here this afternoon to make this brief presentation. The last meeting that I attended, I've continued to hear about the work that IBHE and the state is doing. And while I was sitting there, I was like, wait a minute, I'm also on a state committee. I think that the community needs to hear about that as well. So thank you for the opportunity to present. I think that this, the work that the state is doing around equity is really going to be transformative and really, I think, sets the tone for what other states could be doing to support equitable practices for our students. So as you might have heard probably from President Freeman several times, she refers to the Higher Education Strategic Plan, a thriving, I did follow your instructions, Pat.
The one on the right? Oh, why don't I do it for you?
Thanks, thank you.
I can do it for
okay.
you.
Okay, so she refers to the Thriving Illinois Higher Education Paths to Equity, Sustainability, and Growth, which is a strategic plan. And this strategic plan called for the passing of HB 5464, which was signed by Governor Pritzker in 2022, really requiring that all public post-secondary institutions review and revise existing policies and practices that exacerbate equity gaps in enrollment, retention, completion, student loan repayment rates, and also to implement equity plans and practices to close those gaps. This was a, and is now, something that is requiring all public universities to do in our state. As a result of that, can you next slide, please, Pat? As a result of that, the IBHE, as well as ICCB, which is the Illinois Community College Board, came together and developed an Equity Plan Advisory Committee, which I am a part of that particular committee. The goals and the charge of that particular committee is to create a shared understanding of best practices in using equity gap, in closing equity gaps on Illinois campuses, to cultivate information from other approaches across the state and the nation to promote equitable outcomes, and the development of recommendations for components and methods and practices and strategies to be included in this equity framework. So this committee has been working since February to develop a consistent framework, because when you say now that there's a law that says that every public institution has to create an equity plan, you can imagine that there will be several iterations of what an equity plan could look like. And so this committee, this advisory group, has been brought together to develop a template and a framework so that when we are asked to create or to complete this equity plan, there will be a framework that all the institutions will use. Next slide, please. So I said that I'm on the committee, but in addition to me, there are other CDOs from across the state. There's faculty as well as administrators from 2- and 4-year colleges and universities. And each month, we started meeting in February. We've been hearing from IBHE, the Illinois Community College Board, the Partnership for College Completion, the State of Illinois' Office of Equity, and the Office of the Community College of Community College Research. Just this last time, we also heard from someone that actually presented on the Equity Faculty Toolkit that you heard from Linda Severio in the past meeting. Each of these groups come before our advisory group to really to present to us the kinds of things that we're doing across the state, and to help us develop to determine what then we should be put in our framework. Next slide, please. Some of the things that we have been working on as an advisory group is defining what equity is for the state. How we should be defining it from a student-centered approach, creating common language around what is diversity, equity, and inclusion in our state, so that we can all be using the same language when we are communicating in this in these plans, and then really finding synergies with existing equity plans. I say that because NIU has been working on equity plans for a long time, since 2016, 2017. And we were one of the early adopters of the ILEA, which is the Illinois Attainment Equity Plan, one of the early adopters of creating this, of developing this plan. And so we are, this advisory group is working with ILEA to make sure that we are not creating separate equity plans, that where each institution is not creating two separate siloed equity plans, and that the state's work and the Partnership for College Completion's ILEA plans are in alignment. I think that that's really important, because as an institution that's been doing equity plans, we do not want to just do a perfunctory equity plan because the state said so. We want to make sure that it is embedded not only in our strategic enrollment plan, but in the work that we're doing with the Partnership for College Completion. The two other main areas that the state is asking each public institution to ensure that they are doing is that they are disaggregating data by race and by gender, and that we are using data responsibly, and we have a consistent understanding and method for analyzing that data. Surprisingly, there are many institutions in our state that still do not believe that it is appropriate to disaggregate data. And it is a barrier to helping us develop statewide strategies for student success. So this committee is actually going to be asking for each public university and college to disaggregate data and to use a common use of a common way of using the data and analyzing the data. And then lastly, we are also asking for each public college and university to administer campus climate surveys. I am happy to say that in all of these areas, I believe that NIU has been prepared to do this work with the state, and in many ways are as seen as an example of what the other colleges and universities should be doing, because we have done campus climate surveys, we have been disaggregating data for many years, and have been working with ILEA, and we do already have a definition for equity. It is really important for us to continue this work as a state. Our last meeting is June 1st as an advisory group. My prediction, I'll say, is that sometime in the fall, the state will probably come back and say that there will be a deadline to produce an equity plan. And so I've already been in conversation with my colleagues that we've been working on our ILEA plan about this information. And so they are aware that we need to just continue to make sure that our equity plan, our existing equity plan, is up to date, so that when the state says that we need to produce an equity plan, that we are prepared to do so. I want to thank everyone for getting us to this point, because we could not have done it alone. And I really believe that this is a great opportunity for us to move forward as a state and how we can look at student-centered ways to close equity gaps for our students. So thank you. Any questions?
Questions? We have the mic here, or comment?
You know, I just want to make a couple of comments. I want to thank Vice President Edgell Walden for her leadership. There is a good reason that NIU is ahead of the game, and that's because she has been a very strong partner to academic affairs and student affairs and vice administration and finance and other major divisions on campus during her time here. And that's brought us to a point where we can take an incredible amount of pride in the work that you've done internally and externally to make NIU a better place. I want to remind everybody that we're having a party to celebrate Dr. Edgell Walden's accomplishments. I believe that is on Friday, May 19th at 3 p.m. in the Barsima Alumni and Visitor Center. So please mark your calendars. And then I also want to take a moment and thank Provost Ingram, who has been a proponent of using data to make decisions and disaggregating data to drive student success. In addition to all of the initiatives that Vernice just cited, our Higher Learning Commission HLCQIP Quality Initiative has been completely based on disaggregating data in gateway courses to drive student success and make sure that all of our students have all of the possibilities they had in their hearts when they came here open to them. And we're going up for reaccreditation, and the way that we've executed that plan has been, again, extremely admirable. And, you know, I think that we should just give both Dr. Edgell Walden and Dr. Ingram a big round of appreciative applause, because I think for both of them, this is their last university council in their roles. So, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for your leadership. Thank you for your leadership. I think Linda had a question. Did you have a question? Oh.
I just wanted to make a comment. I just wanted to say thank you, Vernice, particularly with the work and collaboration you've done with PCORE. So we've worked through a lot of these issues, I know, particularly in terms of getting access to data, in terms of looking at, particularly in terms of coming up with a definition related to equity, and a number of issues that we've been wrestling with for a number of years. So particularly on behalf of PCORE, just want to say thank you for your support.
Thank you.
Okay. I'm going to echo what President Freeman already said. I think NIU is not only a model for other state institutions, we're the leaders in this. So I would thank you for your work.
Thank you.
But I do have a question about resistance, let's just say. Other than the responsible data usage, have you seen resistance from other institutions about DEI initiatives? And how do we respond to those? And is this coming from a place of love or is conversations in the FAC? So,
So I think that we've seen the resistance for a long time. I think that what we've seen the resistance when there was a call for all four and two-year institutions to join the Partnership for College Completion around the ILEA work and developing equity plans. There were many four-year institutions that started with that and then decided literally that they didn't think that they needed this and it wasn't for them. But right now, HB 5464 now says it is for you. So I think that there were many institutions that up until this point were not thinking about this, did not think it was important. And so now they, public institutions, now they have to. And so that is why I think this framework is so important, is because we don't want those institutions that are now trying to play catch up, just do it as a check the box, and that they are, that the state is working with presidents and chancellors to make sure that this is not something that sits on the shelf, but it's something that is reviewed and assessed and looked at throughout the time that we have this. So I think we'll always see resistance, but I think the way in which the state has been advocating for this and statewide adoption of it, I think could change in many ways. I don't know if the president has any other opinions on it. She's leading the presidents and chancellors.
I guess I would say I don't think there's resistance across the presidents and chancellors. I think that there's a very strong data orientation on the IBHE and within the Partnership for College Completion, and to look not just at race and ethnicity, but also first generation and Pell eligible and rural, which are other groups where there are significant gaps in our state. I will say that not all of the boards of trustees of all of the public universities are as equity focused as ours. We are very fortunate to have a board of trustees who are very well aligned with the mission, vision, values, and goals of this university and the public mission of this university. And I don't think that's necessarily the case for all 12 of the public universities.
And I'll just also say that one of the exercises that we've been doing monthly when we meet is to talk about what do we think the barriers are and where do we think there might be areas that need additional support to move this forward. And many of my colleagues did cite board of trustees and, you know, general counsel offices who have typically said that they thought it was against the law to do this, but it's not, because the state agencies actually have been giving the institution the disaggregated data. So so I think that's the type of resistance that you see. But I think that at the end, when we're talking about thriving Illinois and what it's going to take, if we have to look at everyone in Illinois. So thank you.
Any other question or comment? Great. If not, we will move on to our next agenda item, item 7B, recognition of University Council members who have completed their service. So as the semester draws to a close, President Freeman and I would like to take a moment to thank all of you who have served on University Council this year, and most especially to our members who are completing their terms at the close of this spring semester. It takes time and effort to attend meetings and to do the work of shared governance, and we are grateful to our faculty, instructors, staff, and students who serve in this role. So thank you, everyone. Thank you very much, and appreciate their service and contribution to shared governance. And I don't know if you have anything you would like to add.
I just want to say the refreshments in the hallway are for University Council in appreciation of your service. So feel free to go get some and come back in the room or to stay after the meeting to enjoy.
That's great. So next we have agenda item 8. Report from councils, board, and standing committees. So, item 8A, we have Faculty Advisory Council to IDHE. That's and me. Linda, if you want to take time and go grab something and come.
I cannot sit next to Katie. She causes trouble every time. Right? Yeah. Last time there was the mint issue. You'll have to ask her about that next time. Yeah. Anyway, before I start, I would like to take a moment to congratulate Professor Jekyll, new director of the Center for Women, Gender, and Sexuality. Am I not correct? Is she shaking your head? No. Oh, fantastic role. Yes. Okay, so last month, is there anything else you want me to embarrass you about? Or is that what you're waiting for? No, that's good enough. Okay. I had a wonderful drive out to Macomb, to Western Illinois University. In fact, I even had a moment where I was, wonderful. I mean that in quotes, right? Macomb? How do you pronounce it? I know, huh? Right? Oh, the other one's Georgia? Yeah, Macomb. It felt like Georgia, yeah. At one point, I was on a very narrow road behind a large metal, supposedly moving object. Looked like it was probably something that fell from an alien mothership, I don't know. So anyway, I don't know. But I did get around it without damaging the NIU vehicle. I want to make a clear point of saying that because Pat told me to be careful about reaching that. Anyway, we had an excellent presentation by Chris Merritt. I had to write this down. He's the Dean for Innovation and Economic Development and Director of the Illinois Institute for Rural Affairs, talking about rural Illinois, right? And he presented on promoting local rural development in Illinois. It was a great presentation. I have the slides from it. If you want to know more, I'd be more than willing to share that with you. Yeah. In fact, we may have a working group kind of take up some of the pieces of this, I guess, or many pieces, right, to developing rural Illinois and working more in collaboration with him on this. Let's see. One of our working groups, the prior learning assessment, is going to be bringing a document forward to the FAC for approval at our next meeting. So if that gets approved, then I'll be sure to share it with Pat because I won't be seeing you all this summer. Going to do research in Mexico City, bye-bye. So, and have her post it then on the Faculty Senate FAC page. And that's about it. We're just kind of wrapping things up in our group, so not a lot to report out today. I'm heading down to Springfield on May 18th to meet with, hopefully, a few state reps. I'm not supposed to call it Advocacy Day, but it's Advocacy Day, right? And then our May 19th meeting is down in Springfield. So that concludes my report. It was more exciting to talk about alien motherships than anything else. Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
That's great. Thank you, Linda. Questions, comment for Linda? Great. Yes, sure. Our next agenda item is item 8B, University Advisory Council to the Board of Trustees, members of which comprise Felicia Bahanan, Holly Nicholson, myself, Katie Jekyll, Karen Whitby, and Brad Cripe. So report on the BOT last meeting, which took place on April 3rd, was already given at the UC April 5th meeting. And the board next meeting will be May 11th. So because of that, we do not have a report. And with that, we will move on to our next agenda item. That would be 8C, Rules, Governance, and Election Committee, no report. 8D, Student Government Association. Do we have a representative from SGA? Okay, we will move on to agenda item 8E, Operating Staff Council. Holly?
That is too long of a walk. Sorry. Happy last meeting of the year, yay. Just two things. Our elections are now open, so if you work with staff, please encourage them to vote because they get to decide who is in rooms like this. And so it's very important. Second of all, our emergency fund, I'm really sorry about my voice. This is our emergency fund has been depleted. We've given, I think, almost $4,000 since its inception and something to be proud of. So we're back in fundraising mode and hope to come back later this summer and give out some more awards. Thanks.
Great. Thank you. Any question for Holly? Okay, we'll move on to agenda item 8F, Supportive Professional Staff Council, Felicia Bohan.
So just two comments. We also are in election season. We are right now in the process of confirming nominations, and then we'll move forward with elections before the end of the month. We also, the Supportive Professional Staff Council gave out two student scholarships in the amount of $750 each to students that were impacted by SPSS staff members. Thank you.
Thank you. Any question for Felicia? Comment? Okay, with.
I forgot our scholarship winners. We had four. How much money did we give them? Treasurer, please. $1,800. So yeah, the children of dependents who work here. This year I was fortunate to know all of them. And from their applications, they're just so incredible. And I felt really inspired in the moment reading their statements to be a better person for them. So thanks.
Great, thank you. So we are on to the last two agenda items. The first being agenda item 9, informational items, and they are informational at best. One thing though I would like to draw your attention to would be item 9Q, 2023-2024 University Council schedule. The first meeting for those who would be on University Council would be September 13, and you can see the rest of the meeting dates in there. We, other than that, unless if I miss anything, I would say we are on to adjournment. And with that, I will entertain a motion to adjourn the meeting. And the honor goes to Holly Nicholson. Second. All in favor? I don't think I need. Okay, thank you. Meeting is adjourned.